There's a preposition in the New Testament that if it were spelled as far as its English equivalent would come out A-N-T-I or anti. This preposition is similar to some others in that it can mean a wide variety of things, but one of the meanings for anti is against. And this morning, as we start to wind down our study of Bible prepositions, we want to look at this particular preposition and we want to focus on this particular angle of it, that is, the meaning of against. When you look at our world, you find that it is very familiar with the idea of anti. Many of us in here are computer users and we use anti-virus software. Some of us buy anti-aging products. There are anti-cancer drugs. Some people are anti-smoking. There are anti-war protesters. When you begin to think about all the different ways that our world uses the word anti, you begin to find that it is a very common, it's a very popular word. Well, not only is this word popular in our culture, it is used several times in the New Testament. Oftentimes, it is prefixed to various words, and that is done to change the meaning of that particular word, just as we would take the word smoking and put anti in front of it. Anti-smoking becomes against smoking, opposed to smoking, not in favor of smoking. So this often happens throughout the New Testament. Today we want to look at some of these words which have this anti-prefix and see what we can learn as far as some very important truths. We start with a reference in Matthew 5, and then we're actually going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. In Matthew 5:25, Jesus said, you need to agree with your adversary, and you need to do that quickly. In the original text, the word adversary has the preface anti. It has that preposition prefix. Jesus pictured a situation where someone is against us, and that's why translations use the word adversary. And in this particular case, Matthew 5:25, Jesus said a person wants to deliver us to the judge. That passage reminds us that in life we are going to have some earthly adversaries. There are, as we go through life, going to be some people who do not like what we believe. If we're a Christian, we're going to find some people who do not like some of the things that we have to say. There are going to be some individuals as we live the Christian life who do not like what we do as far as living the Christian life. Jesus was the only perfect man who ever lived. And there were some people who hated him because he lived a perfect life. Sometimes when people see that others are not living as they live, thinking as they think, and saying as they speak, they get uncomfortable. Maybe you've been exposed to a situation where you were in a particular environment, there were several people there, and everybody in that particular group was dressed in a certain way. And you noticed after a while that someone else entered into that same group of people, but the person that assembled was dressed in a different way. Maybe everybody in that group was dressed in a casual way and here was someone who came in and they were dressed very fancy. Or maybe it was a formal event and someone came in and they were not dressed in a formal way. And that particular person failed to blend in. That individual stood out. And there was a level of uncomfortableness. And that can also happen with Christians. God's people are to stand out in the world. And in some cases, there will be people who, because we try to live the Christian life, they are against us. They are our adversary. You know, it's not much fun to have an earthly adversary or several adversaries in life. But our earthly enemies are not our worst problem. As we said, this word adversary, it has the anti-prefix, is also used in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We said we want to read that verse, and now is the time for that. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, there it is, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This particular word in 1 Peter 5:8 reminds us that the devil is not only out there, but he is against those who are God's people. In life, there may be some folks who think that Satan is not all that interested in them. But the Bible affirms that Satan wants all people. Satan is against humanity. And as you look at the people that the devil wants, it seems fair to me, based on the entirety of what we find in the scriptures, that at the top of his hit list are Christians. I learned this past week that the 10 most wanted list is now 60 or 50 years old. The program started in 1949, and that would make it 60 years old, I guess. Program started in 1949, and it's been going strong ever since. Well, as we think about, you know, the 10 most wanted list, we find that God's people are on the devil's most wanted list. If we look at the folks who are assembled here this morning, or we look at some other congregations scattered throughout the United States and elsewhere, we find the very people that Satan wants to catch. The devil is real, the devil is active, and he's always against God's saints. We might say that Satan is anti-Christian. When you look at Matthew 5 and 1 Peter 5, we find that people, are sometimes our adversary. Certainly the devil is against us. But God says we have something else that is sometimes against us, working as far as force of opposition in our lives. Paul talks about this in the first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. We're also going to be reading this particular passage. This text has a word which again has that anti-prefix, and the word that Paul uses here is found only this one time in the New Testament. It is here that Paul refers to what the King James, I believe, calls a science. It is false science. The ESV uses the word knowledge, and that translation brings out the point rather well. In the past, there have been people who claimed special knowledge. There have been people who've said, well, we know things that you don't know. We have some knowledge that the majority of people, the masses, do not possess. Well, those kinds of claims are not new. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we want the information in verse 20. O Timothy, guard that which is committed unto thee, turning away from the profane babblings and oppositions of the knowledge which is falsely so called. The word oppositions is the word that has this anti-prefix in the original text. There is some false knowledge in the world, and Paul says that this false knowledge stands in opposition. It's against, it opposes Christians and their faith. There have been a lot of instances where young people have gone off to college, and they got the shock of their lives in some of their college classes. Every year, there are some freshmen that are in maybe one class, maybe multiple classes, where a professor stands before them and essentially says something like this: I want you to know that a lot of the things that you have learned back home, when you were with mom and dad, maybe at Sunday school, a lot of the information is wrong. Your mom and dad, I don't doubt that they're probably pretty good people, but they are not in the know. I, as your professor, have advanced degrees. I've been going to school for a long time, and I'm here to tell you that the Bible is false. I'm here to assure you that God does not exist. I'm here to tell you that evolution is true and there is no type of life after death. Children and adults have both been exposed to so-called intellectuals that claim special or advanced knowledge. Well, that's not anything new. It's been going on for more than 2,000 years, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And God warns us in 1 Timothy 6:20 that the people who claim this false, this special, this supernatural knowledge, it's not only untrue, it's dangerous. When we look at knowledge, the Bible says that true love rejoices with the truth, 1 Corinthians 13:6. God's people do not want to become ensnared with and thus enslaved by what's false. As we look at our first three verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, we are told, we're reminded from these three verses, that there are various forces, various things that often come against or make war with a Christian's faith. As we continue to look at this particular prefix that prefaces a lot of words in the New Testament, the preposition anti, we learn some other things. For instance, we find the information in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. In this particular passage, the Hebrew writer brings up the idea of resisting. You know, if people are anti-discrimination, they resist, they oppose, they're not in favor of discrimination. Well, the author of this particular letter, whoever he was, also brings up in Hebrews 12:4 the idea of resistance. That is, there's something to be against. And here's what he says: ye have not yet resisted, stood against, unto blood, striving against sin. When we resist someone or something, that resistance may take various forms. If a bodybuilder, for example, were to resist the fists of an infant, that's not going to take much resistance on his part. Probably, you know, just put up a hand and that's going to be enough. But imagine, if you will, a caterpillar out there crawling on the street. How is he going to be able to resist the foot of a 200-pound runner? Well, that's not going to work out real well. When that foot comes up, it's going to squash the caterpillar. There's not much resistance that he can offer. Some of our resistance in life may not require that much effort. But there are going to be other cases, other instances, especially if we are a Christian, where we're going to need to resist with all our might. The Hebrew writer said to these Christians, you've not yet had to resist. You've not yet had to stand against forces to the point of blood. You have not yet come to a point in your Christian life where you have had to die for your faith. Now, with these readers, that time may well indeed have come. And these saints needed to be ready to do what it took to resist the temptation to forsake Christ and go back to the Old Testament system. Now, that may not be our specific temptation today. Our temptation may be in a much different area. Whatever that temptation is, whenever it comes, how often it comes, we need to resist that just like these readers, we need to stay faithful. The temptations that arise in our life may be strong, they may be persistent. That temptation that arises, it may be very attractive. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable, but it also warns that sin is pleasurable, it lasts only for a season. So whether the temptation comes from an earthly adversary, Matthew 5, whether it comes from the devil, 1 Peter 5, or whether it comes from false knowledge, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, God reminds us to resist what's wrong. Now, as we go through that battle, and it's going to vary a little bit for each one of us, we should be strengthened by some information. And this strengthening comes from our next passage, which we're also going to read. It's from the book of Philippians, Philippians 1, verse 28. Now, I've selected this passage because Paul, again, uses a word which has this anti-prefix attached to it. The Philippians had to do some resisting in their lives. And Paul, as he talks about this with these Christians, gives this important piece of information. And in nothing, affrighted by the adversaries, that would be where the prefix occurs, by the people who are opposed to you. In nothing, be affrighted by the adversaries, which is for them an evident token of perdition, but of your salvation, and that from God. These Christians had people who were opposed to them. They had some spiritual enemies. And yet, in spite of these spiritual enemies, Paul said, I do not want you, brethren, to be affrighted. Don't be scared. Don't be frightened. Don't be terrified by the people who oppose you. You know, wouldn't it be a great feeling to say, there are some adversaries in my life? As I look at my daily life right now, or as I look ahead a little bit as far as what seems to be the future for me, I see that there are some Goliaths in my present life. Or I know that there are going to be some big challenges to me in the next month or sometime this year. Well, Paul was telling the Philippians, if God is our helper and we are one of his people, there's no basis, there's no reason to fear. God will help me, God will help us, and I or we can make it through the difficult times. It reminds us a little bit of Romans 8, verse 31, where Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or if we personalize that passage, we might word it in this way. If God is for me, who can be against me? Well, we know the answer to that question. Now, not everyone is going to view life in this way. There were, for example, some in Jesus' day, the Sadducees, who said, Luke chapter 20, verse 27, there is no resurrection. And Luke uses the word deny. The Sadducees denied the resurrection. And that word that's translated deny, it has that anti-prefix. Here were people who spoke against. They were opposed to the idea of a resurrection. Well, you know, if everybody on the planet but us decries, if they speak against the resurrection, that will not change the fact that the resurrection will one day occur. People can speak against, anti the truth. The word is used in that way, Acts 28, verse 19. There were some people who opposed the truth. But you know, the facts were still the facts 2,000 years ago, and the facts are still the facts today. Hebrews 12, verse 3 has this same prefix being used there. That text says that Jesus had to suffer the gainsaying. There were people who spoke against the Lord, sinners who didn't think that Jesus was right. People were not only speaking against the Christ, they worked against the Lord. Many terrible, many awful things were said and done to Jesus while he was on the earth. Yet as we look at the Lord, we find that he prevailed. Many battles were fought, but who won the war? Jesus or those who spoke against him? The anti-prefix is also used in the book of Acts, in Acts 7, verse 51, a fairly well-known passage. The writer there said that people had resisted, tried to stand against the Holy Spirit, anti the Spirit. But who won those battles? The Holy Spirit or the people? People can try to resist God. That's been done in the past. Surely it will be done in the future. But every single time, that turns out to be a losing proposition. It's also true that God can resist us. We often think of people resisting God, but God can sometimes say, I am anti you. We know that because of 1 Peter 5:5. Peter says that God resists, there's that anti-prefix, God is against certain people. In the context, Peter is talking about the proud. God will not, however, resist those who come to him or want to come to him in humble obedience. If we want to come to God, we must come to God in the right way. As we listen to a lot of the religious people or people who claim to be religious in our day and time, we hear a lot of talk about an anti-Christ. It is often thought, it's often claimed that there's going to be this great world leader, and especially now with some of the things that are being floated around as far as news stories, people think that there's going to be some godlike man at some point on the earth, and he's going to have rule, he's going to have control over everything. Well, all the talk about the Antichrist is far from new, and much of what's said, or we might say most of what is said, is simply incorrect. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 is a verse that we should be familiar with for a couple of reasons. In that particular passage, John says, or makes reference to, many antichrists. If you don't have the word S underlined there in 1 John 2:18, that might not be a bad thing to do. John doesn't say an antichrist singular is coming. He says antichrists, plural, there's an S on it. And that stands in complete opposition to our world. People talk about the antichrist singular. The Bible refers to antichrist, plural. And then John also makes this point, which is worthy of note and certainly worthy of underlining it. John says, now are. Not will be, future tense. Now are. 2,000 years ago, John said there were antichrists in the world. There have been antichrists throughout the world for more than 2,000 years. Anti, as we noted, means against. Antichrists are people who are simply opposed to Christ. So they are by no means new, even though people sometimes act like people until the last 50 years had never heard of that terminology. When we look at the word anti, it is an important word in our lives. For those who are anti-God, and there are people who are like that, or they're anti-Christ, or they're anti-Bible, they're not going to be saved. It's just not going to work. To be saved, we must be anti-sin, we must be anti-error, and we must be anti-Satan. We must be for the things that are wrong. We must be for the things that are right and against, anti the things that are wrong. Needed to make sure I got that right. We can only be for what's right and opposed to what's wrong by becoming a Christian. And God gives us that plan in His Word. It's a plan that begins by belief. We've heard what's right, we know what's wrong, and we say we want to live in the way that corresponds with the Scriptures. And that decision leads to repentance. We turn from sin, we confess that Christ is the Son of God, and we do become a Christian by being baptized, by being immersed into His spiritual body, the church. And then as we continue to live the Christian life, that word anti means that we want to stay against the things that are wrong, and we do want to serve in the way that God has described the things that are right. Anti. Such a simple word, such an important word in our world, and one day it's going to determine where people spend eternity. Are we anti what's wrong and supportive of what's right? If we've not yet become a Christian, this morning we have at least one more chance to do that. The plan is simple, it's easy, takes just a few minutes. And if you believe in what's right, you want to live in the right way, you want to repent. You can confess before this assembly that Christ is the Son of God. You can take that final step, be immersed into Christ, and have every single sin forgiven. If you've taken that step and you've started to stray from the path this morning, think about the course that you've taken. Think about the chance that God wants you to come back, to say no to the things that are wrong. God loves you and wants you to return. If we can help you in that way, if we can help you to become a Christian, or in some other way, will you let us know how we can aid you as we stand and sing the selected song?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today. Calling today, Jesus is calling it tenderly. Calling today, Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. Is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to His voice. Hear Him today, hear Him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Please be seated.